begin our second day of our business meeting. This is the business meeting of the Judicial Council of California for December 13, 2013. We're in session. I don't believe I need to remind counsel that we are audiocast live. Please speak into your microphones and try to remember to identify each other by name if it's relevant in the conversation. This morning, our first agenda item is the liaison reports that we look forward to hearing. As you remember, this is a project started by council, where council members take their time into going into the communities and the courts and meeting with the local courts to find out what's happening there, what information to convey to council for issues that we can act on in the future. A show of hands of who'd like to give a report for the liaison report this morning. Judge Ellsworth and then Judge Walsh. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you, Chief. I'm reporting on Orange County Superior Court. I had the opportunity to visit with them back in August, but because of scheduling, haven't gotten around to give this report. Mm-hmm. I checked with Orange County to see if there was an update and was told that things are pretty much the same. I will say about our friends, my friends to the west, that Orange County was such an wonderful visit with such a great leader. You know, Judge Boris, he's done so many great things and given so much service, not only to the branch, but to the local area, and certainly was one of the key individuals in this methodology reformulation. And so it was a pleasure to visit with him and his executive team for the most part. They are a hard-working court, like so many courts, and they are a very efficient court. They have always been one of the leaders when it comes to technology. They've been ahead of the curve and have worked very hard, and now they find themselves with some very difficult things happening in their family law arena, as well as I think it's the probate that some of their systems are concerned about and continue to be concerned about V3. Nevertheless, their biggest concern was service to the public, and when we spoke, it wasn't about overworked judges, or it wasn't about how they could improve their lives individually, but they really were concerned for the public and for the windows that they had to close for the public and service getting to the public. And so I was so impressed with their whole team. That was the complaint, is that we want to serve more and do more, and we feel that because of the budget, they are really in a position where they've had to scale back on many things, finding themselves July 14th at that time, July 2014, with about a $40 million gap, and they're trying to think of how they can scale back more in ways that won't affect the public. And so I was so impressed with their team building and their working and their very positive attitude about trying to make the most of everything that they'd been given. They have they were down a lot of judges, and that's particularly difficult because they have a very unique situation that we found ourselves in Riverside County a couple of years ago, that much of their bench has only 5 years of experience or less. And that reverberates within their county, especially since they do have a lot of complex cases, like many of us do, and a lot of things. When you have a bench that's so young and such a large number at such a young age and new, they may be excited and they may be hardworking, but there is that learning curve that really creates a difficult situation. So you kind of have a situation in Orange County where they have a lot of complex litigation. They have a volume of litigation, criminal and all other areas as well. They are down judges, and the judges they do have, most of them are, or a good portion, up to 50%, are 5 years or under. And they are understaffed because of the resource issues, and they are also closing the door to public. So, you know, such hardworking folks and such a pressure cooker, all of us, many of us can relate to, but I was just so impressed with their attempts with Alan Carlson and Judge Boris and their whole team of trying to re-engineer how they can still give the best product to the public, and that was their main concern. They are concerned about V3, as I've indicated. There's lots of stats that I could share with you, but I think I just have to express that it speaks volumes about a county who is under-resourced, as I have indicated, by their shortfall to them. I'm not talking about any other margin, but the shortfall to them. They were really good stewards and really built up funds in order to take themselves technologically into the future. And those essentially, in many ways, for being good stewards, were punished and had them swept. It speaks volumes to see them come to the table, and that court, both the executive leader there and Judge Boris, saying, we'll give, we'll be a part of the funding methodology. I mean, to me, that was just really a historic moment of speaking for the branch and not speaking for an individual county. So I think I would like to leave on that note, that they are really doing what they can to make California better, and not just Orange County. And I'm so impressed with them, and it was such a delight. And whoever takes over as liaison to Orange County, and Emily and I are both the liaisons, and I neglected to mention that, but you know, they are just such a fine group of hardworking individuals who think more about the whole of the picture instead of the small, myopic kind of piece. And so I appreciated it very much. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Judge Ellsworth. I know many of us have many years looked to Orange County for its innovation, especially in technology, and especially their seemingly ability to see around corners as they made themselves more efficient and therefore providing greater access to the public. And so this news that with recent events as well as certain legislation that affects their ability to continue to plan and provide access, resulting in a $40 million gap, is really hard news to take, especially for one of these kinds of counties. Thank you. Judge Walsh.
Thank you, Chief. My visit and report are hot off the press. I was at the wonderful downtown Modesto Stanislaus Superior Court last Monday, December 9th. I had an excellent and inspiring visit with a very impressive group of judges and managers and staff. Of course, downtown Modesto, for those of you know, I hear there's some trivia buffs here. Downtown Modesto is the inspiration for George Lucas's American Graffiti. So it wasn't filmed there. So it's right up, you probably raced right in front of the courthouse. It's that old. I was hosted by their PJ, Lori Bagan, and their APJ, Judge Jacobs, and their CEO, Rebecca Fleming. All were wonderfully welcoming and very impressive in their commitment to the public service they provide. I later met with the management staff and the court's executive committee. Of course, we spent the entire day indoors. It was a cold morning, so I was hoping to get warmed up inside. I get inside. It's 52 degrees throughout the entire courthouse, the chambers, so everyone all day is in scarves, gloves, and full overcoats. I think they think they need a new courthouse. I'll talk about that in a moment. But despite that, they were all cheerful, enthusiastic, and clearly committed to the public service. They described their situation. These are quotes. They're a woefully underfunded court. They're operating in survival mode, and they're squeezing everywhere and getting it done. They acknowledge, though, that with everyone stressed, with too much to do and too few resources, their workers' comp rate has gone way up. And I saw far more duct tape and cardboard for repairs than I think is fitting for a public building, but that's how they have to get by. They tell me that the good work they're doing, they're getting their cases done, they're serving the public, but they believe it's not sustainable over the long term without increased resources. I asked them, well, what were the good things? What are the major challenges? They said there are two big pluses for that court. First is they are very technologically advanced. They showed me, in fact, their server room. It's very impressive. It's a huge server room with all these components in it. But I told them it looked like Apollo 13 because to keep the thing going, this is where they had cardboard with duct tape attached to these huge advanced servers, and that's how they get by, and they're fine with it, for now, anyway. And the other big plus is the great attitude everybody has. They have a very collegial bench, they tell me, and excellent camaraderie among administration and staff. Stanislaus is a population of about 520,000. They have 26 judicial officers. They're on the list for, I think, two more, although in terms of their total judicial needs, the RAS study shows they need 10 more judicial officers. Their staff positions have fallen from 265 at the high point in 08-09 down to 197 right now. They provide me with a long list of steps they've taken to operationalize budget cuts, and they assure me they are not spending public money on high raises. 20% is a sad stat. 20% of their staff are on some form of aid, food stamps, other kinds of aid, because they don't get paid enough. So if anybody's listening in Sacramento, no, we're not wasting dollars. They're not wasting dollars. They're doing a lot and sacrificing to get it done. Their major challenges, they're worried about the 1% reserve. They need at least 10% just to make payroll, and they're concerned that without reserves they cannot maintain capital projects like technology. And they also worry that because they're lower staff, they've relied heavily on technology, but they worry that if they become technologically heavy, it becomes an impersonal court, and they don't want to go there. As to their construction project, they have been approved by the AOC and the council for a building, which they badly need. They now have one really old building and one, say, 50 or 60-year-old building mushed together there in downtown. They're trying to get a new courthouse, and apparently they've been approved to acquire land, and that will be downtown and badly needed. It'll be a 300,000-square-foot courthouse with 26 courtrooms in it. They have a very positive attitude about the AOC. They have a good relationship with them. And they want to get more involved with branch activities. I was very impressed with their CEO, Rebecca Fleming. I mean, she seemed on top of everything. She inspired everybody. She blended personal skills with great technological knowledge. And the dozen or so judges I met with were wonderfully engaging and cared deeply about their work. One of the big problems they have, they claim, by the way, they are the number one auto theft capital in the U.S. Now, I've heard Fresno wants to claim that, and maybe San Joaquin, and apparently it moves around. But they have a real problem there, and I think we may be discussing this at our annual meeting of the PJs and CEOs. With 109, more folks are coming from the prisons and filling their jails. As a result, if a judge in Stanislaus sentenced somebody to jail, they go in the front door and out the back door. And they say that is killing judicial morale besides disturbing the public. Because when you wag your finger and you say to that third time DUI, sir, it's a minimum 120 days in jail, they smirk because they know they're going to get sent to jail and they're going to walk out the next day. One judge told me they had a DV. She had a DV defendant, sentenced him to 1 year in jail, and saw him a few weeks later back in front of her and thought, well, there must be something with the sentence. No, he'd been let out, did another domestic violence act, and was back in front of her within a month. They say that's what's really not sustainable. It is the function. It's dysfunction. You say, well, you put people in jail, that's the jailer's problem once you sentence them there. But it's not when it comes back this way, because now they have no credibility with the defendants. And apparently it's really eating up the morale of the criminal judges who can't serve the community in the way they want. But, again, a great attitude by all. Everybody pulling together, everybody helping each other. Happily, they were one of the sites for the LAO visits. So if the LAO could see them and did see them, if the governor could see them, if the legislature could see them, they will see public servants working hard, doing their best to serve their community with very limited resources, but making everything work whether it's duct tape and cardboard or simply a smile. These are great people. I was proud to be with them. I'm proud to say they're my colleagues in the judiciary. So I was very impressed with Stanislaus. Chief, that's my report.
Thank you, Judge Walsh. Justice Hull.
Thank you, Chief. Just a few minutes, if I may. I am a liaison to, among others, Calaveras County. And I don't have a full report today, but I did want to make note of the fact that I had the good fortune and the honor to represent the chief and the council at the opening of their new Calaveras County Courthouse in mid-November. Presiding Judge John Martin, Court Executive Officer Hugh Swift, and all of the other people were very, very welcoming. And that's a bright spot after Judge Walsh's explanation of the difficulties that he has described and that we've all seen. It was very, very much a relief for them to have a courthouse with all of four departments. And they're going to have an adjacent jail facility where there will be done soon, where they'll have better efficiencies in getting their defendants back and forth. Very much appreciated the welcome of Presiding Judge Martin. Actually, I suppose curiously, he's not only the presiding judge there, he's the only judge there. And the one thing that they had mentioned to me when I do make a full report that they are really sort of suffering from at the moment is they have one commissioner, and they have their retired presiding judge, Mawinney, who has been such a stalwart in that community, both the legal community and otherwise, and he's still hearing a great deal of cases. They very badly need to have the governor appoint to Judge Mawinney's bench or position there, and they're sort of in a difficult position until that's done. They're sort of relying on his good offices to continue with the to help with the caseload. But I'll have a full report with Calaveras, but I wanted to note that it was very, very nice to see a new courthouse that they very badly needed to come to fruition. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Justice Hull. Judge Rosenberg.
I have a quick question and a comment. The question is, these reports are wonderful, but we also have liaisons to the various departments and divisions. Do you want, in the future, those liaisons to report as well? Or are we just focusing on liaison reports to the individual superior courts?
For right now, what we're going to do is have you just report on, I'm not trying to jump in front
no,
of
you,
but,
that's fine.
ENP has been handling this, and so we're going to have the court reports here, and then we're going to start with the individual AOC director reports at ENP.
Got it.
And then so that ENP gets that information directly, and then we'll have you at one of the judicial council meetings.
My comment relates to the point that Judge Walsh raised in his visit to Stanislaus, and I suspect this is pretty widespread in California. Perhaps it's something that we should consider having on the agenda of the judicial council at the appropriate time. And this comment is not in any way, shape, or form criticism or attack on county sheriffs who are now our state prison jailers for a local time. But I think we're all seeing people being sent to county prison, if you will, being released very quickly, and also seeing long sentences to county prison that I don't think folks necessarily anticipated. We have a number of people who've been sentenced for 10, 12, even 18 years to county prison. I wonder about the impact of that, because I find it hard to believe that they will actually serve 10, 12, or 18 years in county prison. So that, you know, a look at that at some point is something I think the Judicial Council should consider.
I think that's an interesting topic for an educational meeting, given the 58 courts and the different practices and different resources available to the courts and law enforcement. Judge McCabe. I'm sorry.
Mine's
to Jacobson. They switched the seats. There you go.
They did. There is an enormous amount of variation on this this very issue. So I can tell you in Alameda County, very little long-term sentencing going on under 1170H, and we don't have a cap release issue. We have open beds. We don't have the one-in, one-out kind of situation. But the variation is enormous from county to county. And it would be a very good topic.
Thank you. I want to say one thing about Judge Walsh's report. I had the pleasure of meeting the Modesto bench at an event, and I absolutely echo all you've said about them. And it's not only their collegiality and their hard working amongst themselves. I think it's fairly contagious, and it's true for the legal community as well. They have a great deal of support in the legal community, and they partner. And it's clear that's, in one way, how they cope with their diminished resources, is as a group, not only the bench officers and the hardworking staff, but also the legal community. And I appreciate that update on what's happening in Modesto.
Thank you.
I think that concludes our liaison reports.